All right, brethren, Psalm 114. So go right along with our hymns and right along with the scripture reading. This psalm gives God all the glory. Everything in this psalm is declaring what God did, what he does for his people. So every bit of it. Speaking of God, God gets all the glory. You know, when we go through the scripture, it's in the Old Testament, over and over again, it doesn't take very long wherever we look. You hear the children of Israel looking back to their redemption out of Egypt, and you hear them speaking of their redemption across the Jordan River into the land of Canaan, and you hear them singing of it and rejoicing in it. This was one of the psalms that speaks of that. It was one of the psalms they would sing at their feasts. And it's just like us in our day. In our day, we're looking back to Christ on the cross, what he accomplished for his people, how God has dealt with us in mercy and grace all our days, and we're singing of his glory. We're singing of his power and his presence and what he's done for his people. And giving him the glory, just like they did. This is why God gave them the Passover feast, was to keep them remembering the redemption accomplished for them by the Lord. And our Lord showed us he's the true Passover, and he's given us his table to keep us remembering his broken body and his shed blood by which he brought us out of Egypt. So this whole psalm is declaring what the Lord does for his people. And it's particularly declaring what he does by his presence and his power. By his presence and his power. Look here in verse 7. This is the verse that it all hinges on right here. He says, "Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob." Now, verses 1 through 6 is going to show how the Lord calls out and protects his people. In verses 1 through 6, how he delivers, redeems, and calls and protects his people. And then verse 8 is going to declare how the Lord provides for his people. And verse 7 is warning every enemy to tremble before his people due to the presence of the Lord, the presence of the God of Jacob who's with his people. The subject is protection and provision. That's how the psalm is divided. Protection is the first 6 verses, and provision is the 8th verse. And verse 7 tells us it's by God's presence. It's by God's presence. By the Lord's presence, by his power, he protects and provides for his people. That's what he does. It's God's presence and power that the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt and it overcame every enemy they faced. It's by his presence and power they were supplied with every provision as they went through the wilderness. This is how they were supplied. And so it is with us today. This is the same is true with us today. Now, first of all, let's look at protection. We'll just have these two main points, protection and provision. But let's look here at protection. It takes up most of the psalm. It's God, by his presence and power, that protects his people. He said in verse 1, "When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary, and Israel his dominion." Now, Israel was in bondage, the house of Jacob. They could not deliver themselves. They were completely in bondage. But God had told Abraham, over 400 years before they even went to Egypt, that they were going to go to Egypt and they were going to be enslaved in Egypt. God told Abraham this. This was all in God's purpose. But God also entered into a covenant with Abraham, promising Abraham that God, at a set time, would deliver them out of Egypt. God promised that. Well, all of God's elect, Jew and Gentile, that God chose before the foundation of the world, we were his even when we fell into bondage in Adam. just like they were gods when they went down into Israel, I mean into Egypt and came into bondage. We were gods when we fell in Adam. God knew it. It was his purpose. And he used that to show his salvation, just like he did with them. But God had entered a covenant with his Son, with the Lord Jesus, to deliver us at the set time. Christ would come and redeem us, and then he would call us out at the set time. And the Lord delivered Israel through the Passover lamb. And that's how God our Father delivered us, through Christ our Passover. That's how he delivered us, through Christ our Passover. And as the Lord separated the children of Jacob out from a people of a strange language, he brought them out of Egypt. He didn't leave them in Egypt. He brought them out of Egypt. And just like he did that, so the Lord separates those he redeemed when he calls us in the new birth and brings us out, and brings us out of the darkness and out of unbelief and out of our sin and rebellion, and brings us to cast all our care on the Lord Jesus Christ. And from that day forward, he leads us and guides us and directs us, and he's teaching us continually, using everything about us and everything about his creation, that he is the power by which we're saved. It's his presence by which we're saved. Now, when God delivered them out of Egypt, verse 2, it says Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. It means all the children of Jacob. Not one of them was left behind. I think the reason it speaks of Judah and Israel is because at this time that this psalm was written, they were divided. But when he brought them out, they weren't divided. But it just means they were all brought out. He didn't leave any behind. And God's not going to leave any of his elect behind. He's going to call every one of them out. And when he brought them out, Judah was his sanctuary. This is by God's presence. This is what verse 7 is telling us. This is by his presence. A sanctuary is a place that's uniquely set apart by God for God's use. It's a place uniquely set apart, sanctified, that's what it is, set apart by God, by God's presence, for God's use. Each sinner that God chose, Christ redeemed, accomplished our redemption, and they shall be set apart. They shall be sanctified for God's use by God's presence in the new birth. Every one of them shall. He's going to quicken them. He's going to call them. He's going to separate them. He separates our new man from our old man. That's how he brings us to believe. And he's going to call us out of Egypt, bring us out, and have us to follow him. This is how we're separated from a people of a strange language. That's what the world is, people of a strange language. And this is how we're separated from them. And this is how we're kept separated from them. Remember how the Lord prayed in John 17, keep them from the evil. And then he prayed, Lord, sanctify them through thy word. And he declared, he's the truth that by which we're sanctified. He said, I sanctified myself that they might be sanctified through the truth. He is that truth by which we're sanctified. And that's what he was praying for. Separate them and keep them separated. Keep them from the evil. And when God makes us his sanctuary, we're sanctified, we're set apart for God's use by God's indwelling presence. He brings you to tremble yourself and bow before the Lord and cast your care on him when he makes you see that you're the sinner. And this is so of his church as a whole. His church is his dwelling place. And this is so of each individual member that's born again of God. You are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, verse 2 says, and Israel was the Lord's dominion. This is his power. This was by his presence. This is his power. Israel was the Lord's dominion. The word dominion means his domain, his realm. It's where he ruled. The Lord's church is his domain. It's where he rules. It's where he leads and guides and protects. And it is so of every believer in particular. They were formed into a kingdom, and God was all around them. God was, the everlasting arms were underneath. He went before them. He was their rear ward. He ruled them in their hearts, and he ruled all around them to protect them. So what does God do by his presence and his power when he's made us his sanctuary and his dominion? What does he do? When he's made you his sanctuary and his dominion, what does God do for you? He's going to use some poetry here. He's going to personify the Red Sea and the Jordan River and the mountains and the hills. He says there in verse 3, the sea saw it and fled. That's the Red Sea. The Red Sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. Verse 4, the mountains skipped like rams and the little hills like lambs. Now these all represent all the enemies and all the obstacles that only the Lord can deliver his people from and deliver his people through. That's what these represent. The Lord brought them to the Red Sea. The Lord could have taken them straight into Canaan, but he didn't. He brought them to the Red Sea and hemmed them in on every side where they could not deliver themselves, where it was abundantly clear to them that they could not deliver themselves. Not to the right, the left, Pharaoh's barreling down on them, and they couldn't get through the Red Sea. And the Lord sent the gospel to them. He always works this work through the preaching of the gospel. He sent the gospel through Moses, and this is what he told Moses, and this is what he told Moses to tell them. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him to save you. Whatever the obstacle, whatever the enemy, whatever the situation, believe God and trust him to save you. He says, and the Red Sea saw. The Red Sea saw they were the Lord's sanctuary. The Red Sea saw they were the Lord's dominion, and it fled. It was the Lord's presence and power that delivered them. That's what it's just declaring. And then when they went through the Red Sea, then the Lord destroyed all their enemies, and there wasn't one of them left. The Red Sea saw they were his sanctuary and they were his dominion. And then the Lord brought them to the Jordan. And again, he brought them there during the rainy season. Do you think the Lord knows when the seasons are going to be? He sends the season. So he knew. He did it. He brought them right there during that rainy season where they saw once again they could not overcome that flooding river. They could not get across that flooding river. And the Lord told the priests to step into that river and hold up that ark. That's what every preacher of the gospel is doing. He's holding up Christ our ark. And the Lord told the people, look to the ark. Look to the ark. That's a picture of believing on Christ, looking to Christ, trusting Christ to deliver us through the preaching of the gospel. That's what we have pictured at the Jordan. He says, and the Jordan saw that they were the Lord's sanctuary. And the Jordan River saw they were the Lord's dominion. And it was driven back. It was driven back. And they went across on dry ground again. But think about this now. The Red Sea and the Jordan River were events that took place 40 years apart. Why does he put them together in this verse like they're just one event? Well, our deliverance, beginning to end, is by the presence and power of the Lord. That's what he's declaring. From the Red Sea to the Jordan, beginning to end, is by the presence and power of the Lord. Get this picture now. The Red Sea is a picture of baptism. They were baptized unto Moses. Jordan is a picture of deliverance from death. And really, in our baptism, in water baptism, what are we declaring? What are we picturing? By one event. In Christ, all God's elect, when we were in Christ, mystically in Christ, by God putting us in Christ from the foundation of the world, we were in Christ and we were baptized into the judgment and justice of God when it rained down on him. That was that baptism. Christ said, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and I'm straight until it be accomplished. We were in him. Just like the rains came down on the ark and came up from beneath the ark of Noah, we were in him, and we were buried in the grave then. We were in Christ. We were buried in the grave. We already have died and gone in the grave. Before God, that's what God said. Because we were sin. That's all we are. And we had to die. We had to be buried out of sight. We've already died and been buried before God in Christ. But we pass through that grave. The Jordan represents death. We passed through that grave. We came out of the grave. We went up into eternal life, into heaven's glory in Christ, and sat down at his right hand, ever to live with our Lord. It was finished by one event. One event. Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Just like we see here, the Red Sea and the Jordan River. And from God calling us, from the day he calls us and makes us his sanctuary and his dominion throughout this wilderness that we're traveling through, we're kept and we're protected by the presence and power of our God. Just like the sons of Jacob were, beginning to the end. Beginning to the end. The mountains and the little hills here, there's a bunch of different disagreements on what this means. Some thinks it means Mount Sinai. Some thinks it means the mountain Caleb wanted in the land of Canaan to have all the enemies on it. But it probably means every other enemy they faced along the way. Every obstacle they faced. It's like mountains and hills, immovable to us. But beginning to end, they were all conquered by God's presence and God's power. Do you remember what the Lord, Zerubbabel's a picture of Christ, building the temple, building his people up stone by stone, making us living stones and building us up together. And when the Lord, I quote it to you a lot, when the Lord told Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. He said this next, who art thou, O great mountain? What immovable mountain is there that's going to try to stand in God's way and stand in the way of God's people? They're put there by God. Why are the mountains put there? They're there by God's appointment to show you and me that God's the only one that can deliver us through. Who art thou, O mountain, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, before the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt become a plain. And he'll bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. All of these enemies we're looking at, from the Red Sea to the Jordan, and every enemy in between, these are enemies that God's people cannot conquer ourselves. This is why we say salvation is of the Lord. We can tell people to be sanctified. We can tell people to separate themselves, but there ain't a sinner that can do it until God works it, until he makes you his sanctuary, and he has the dominion. We couldn't satisfy justice. We couldn't make ourselves righteous before God. Nor could we make ourselves be born again. Nor could we free ourselves from the bondage of our sin nature and believe God. Nor can we make the gospel effectual in others. Nor can we make it through this life. We cannot make it through this life. Our Lord said, without me, you can do nothing. We can't make it through this life. We can't make it out of the grave. We can't make it up into heaven's glory. Except by God leading us and making us overcome every enemy and every obstacle by his presence and his power. He who has begun a good work in you at the Red Sea shall perform it to the day of the Lord Jesus Christ and bring you across the Jordan and bring you into the promised land. And so God warns all our enemies. He warns every enemy in this earth to tremble before his people. Look at verse 5. It's a little humorous here. He says, what ailed thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest? And thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back? You mountains that you skip like rams, and you little hills like lambs. Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. Did you notice when that hurricane was coming a day or two before, and you started seeing all the people leaving Fort Myers and leaving Port Charlotte and that whole area down there, and they're leaving out. And they interviewed a man, and he said, you can fight against a lot of things. He said, but you can't fight Mother Nature. No, that's God. That's God. And what happened? The people trembled and they got out of there. They left. They took off. And that's what the Lord's saying he'll do for all the enemies of his people. He's telling every enemy, tremble. Bow down before the Lord. Come to him and cast a care on him, and he'll save you. But don't try to oppose him. He said in Psalm 9:3, let me read this to you. Psalm 9:3, when mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou settest in the throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. This is our Lord. You know, Moses knew God's presence was what they needed. He knew that. He knew God's presence was their protection. Remember Exodus 33:14. Let's look at Exodus 33:14. I'll be very short on my second point. Exodus 33:14. This is what the Lord said. The Lord promised Moses, he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. That's rest in itself, just having his presence with us. He said, and Moses said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And right after that's when the Lord showed Moses his glory. And as the Lord is making his presence known with us and leading us and showing us how he's delivering us and protecting us through this whole journey, that's how we see his glory. That's how we see his glory. So that's our protection. Now here's the second point, our provision. By his presence and by his power, the same God who provided for his people and protected them the whole way, he also provided for them. Just like he protected them, he provided for them. Verse 8 says, God turned the rock into standing water and the flint into a fountain of waters. You know, Paul said that rock, that smitten rock, is Christ. Now, there's three things I want to show you from this verse, and I'll be very brief. One, as far as our provision, Christ is that rock, and God will keep his child knowing Christ is the one thing needful. If you have Christ, you have every provision for this life and for the life to come. If we have Christ, if we believe him. The Lord Jesus is our rock who was smitten in place of his people. So that we're justified in him, made righteous in him. So every provision that we're going to need and every provision we're going to give for eternal glory with God, acceptance with God, and for this life is coming through the blood and righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything God's doing for us, he's doing for the sake of his Son. So Christ is our wisdom at God's right hand. He's the one who saved us justly and in mercy and gave us discernment to know and trust him. Christ is our righteousness with God. That's the one in whom we're complete, is at God's right hand. There's my righteousness. Christ is our sanctification at God's right hand. He's the Holy One who's perfectly holy, for whose sake and by whose Holy Spirit we're separated in a new man and kept separated unto the Lord from the beginning to the end. True sanctification is being made to see that he's our sanctification and he keeps us separated and it's his holiness we're partaking of. We're not made holy by ourselves. It's his presence in us. It's his keeping us separated from the evil. And our redemption was provided by God in Christ. He redeemed us from the curse. He redeemed us from our sin nature. And He redeemed us from every enemy and from death, the last enemy. Every enemy He's redeemed His people from. So Christ is the preeminent provision we need. If we have Him, we have all. Believe on Him. Trust Him. At all seasons, whatever He's bringing you into, it is to make us trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Without faith in Christ, it's impossible to please God. We can't come any other way but in Christ. And two, our Lord will provide for us using things that we would never expect are for our good. Do you see that in this verse? He brought water out of a rock. Out of the rock. He turned the flint into waters. Moses would have never expected the Lord to give water out of a hard rock of flint. And yet from it came the water of life. God uses two things to show us this continually. His providence and the preaching of the gospel. That's how He's providing for us. Sometimes His sovereign hand's going to lead us to places where He's going to shut us up, just like He did them at the Red Sea, just like He did them before Jordan. He's going to shut us up. He's going to make us get between a rock and a hard place where we just can't deliver ourselves. This is going to happen from beginning to the end. The last time it's going to happen is when you're laying on your back in the bed and you're about to take your last breath. And just like He's going to deliver you from that one, He delivered you at the beginning. He's delivering you from every enemy through every trial. And the purpose of them and all His provision is to show us that He is our salvation. He puts floods before us like Jordan, like they're experiencing in Florida right now. Or He brings us to bitter waters like He did the children of Israel. Bitter waters that are hard to go through and they're painful and they're sorrowful. And sometimes He's going to make us hunger like He did the children of Israel. We don't see how any good could come from it. But in each of those trials in that wilderness, you know what the remedy was? In each one of the trials, the remedy, the salvation that God provided for them, typified the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of them. Every one of them. Christ sweetens the bitter waters. He sweetens the bitter waters. Christ is the manna from heaven that's going to satisfy your hunger. Christ is the ark who delivers and dries up every flood. On and on you can go. It was God's providence. Remember this. Next time you're brought into some providence and you say, I just don't see how this could work for my good or for the church's good or anything. Remember, it was God's hand of providence that brought Christ to His enemies and gave His enemies leave to do with Him what they would and nailed Him to a cursed tree and accomplished our eternal redemption. Would you have looked at that if you didn't know the Scriptures and said, how can good come out of this? I'm persuaded, I know this is so, all of God's providence, everything that's coming to pass in your life and in mine, is to make us stand still and see that Christ is our salvation. Everything. It's not just to make you separated from other people, and yeah, that ain't what it's about. It's to, if we're not separated unto Christ, to see He's everything and we're nothing, we hadn't been sanctified. That's what it's for, brethren, is to make us stand still all the time and be constantly reminded Christ is our salvation. He is. He keeps us remembering we're being saved by His presence and by His power, and He keeps us remembering He is the one thing needful. And He keeps providing for us using this foolish means of preaching the gospel. By this, He keeps us looking to Christ alone. This is foolishness to the world. God's going to use people that are going to stain the pride of every man to preach His gospel. He's going to use men who are foolish men who are nothing but sinners saved by His grace, being saved by His grace. And He's going to overrule every error and all of our mistakes, and He's going to bring us into submission to Him to keep preaching the gospel, and through that gospel, He's going to save His people. You think about it, most of those that the Lord used, the prophets and the apostles, by general rule, they were from a lower class of people. They were poor fishermen. But remember this, our prophet, priest, and king came from Nazareth. What do people say? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? There was no form or comeliness that make men desire him. But through this gospel, the Lord made foolish the wisdom of this world, and he made us wise unto salvation. He made us know Christ is our salvation. And he separated us by this gospel, and he's going to keep us through this gospel unto the end. We need the gospel. It's through his hand of providence and then him declaring the gospel to us and making us see what he's doing for us in providence. That's how he grows us in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how he grows us in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that we trust Christ and put no confidence in our flesh. Absolutely none. Now lastly, this provision by Christ, by his presence, is permanent and abundant. Permanent and abundant. It's all Christ. That's the first thing we see. That rock is Christ. Secondly, it's in ways we'd never expect it. He uses providence we wouldn't expect, and he uses his foolish means of this gospel, declaring the accomplished redemption of a bloody cross. And here's the third thing about his provision. It's permanent and it's abundant. He said he turned the rock into a standing water. That's permanent. He turned a rock into a standing water. God changes not, and his provisions for his people do not change. We always have a need. That doesn't ever change. And God doesn't ever change in that he's providing for that need. That's a permanent guarantee for his people throughout this life. But what if I don't feel his power and his presence providing for me? You ever get there where you don't feel it? We sing it all the time. We pay attention to the words we sing. We sing this all the time. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest in his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, that means when the storm's raging, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor's not in me. It's at God's right hand. When Israel was old, Jacob, when he was old, and he was blessing Joseph, he was speaking of God, how God had continually provided for him. And he said, he called him the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil. You can find God's saints, old saints, saying that time and time again in the scripture, something just like it. And then, not only is his provision permanent, it's abundant. He said he turned the flint into a fountain of waters. It's abundant. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. We're not talking about a little water. He gave them a lot of water. The waters gushed out, the psalmist said. They ran into dry places like a river. Now, think about this provision of everything we need in Christ and everything we need in this life. I want you to think of it this way. Look at God's abundant provision for mankind just in creation. Look at it. You got the air, you got light, you got rain showers, you got the sun, you got the beautiful landscape, you got the grandeur of the mountains and the seas, you got all this abundant provision of food and everything, all the resources that God has provided, all of it for mankind. And every bit of that's an allegory. This whole creation and everything in it, everything God's provided, is an allegory of the abundant riches of God's grace for his people. And the truth is, all these things you see in creation that's for all man to enjoy, they are just a drop in the bucket compared to the abundance of God's grace and riches for his people. That's a lot of grace and riches, isn't it? This is a big world. We got a big God with a big treasury of riches. His abundance for his people is much, much, much more than we see in this world. Paul said it this way, "My God shall supply all your need." Now listen, "according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." They're his. They're in glory. And he's providing everything here for us by Christ Jesus. "Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there's mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption." We need a lot of redemption. We need redemption a lot. We know the main points of redemption. We're redeemed at the cross by our God, and we're redeemed when he comes and gives you life, and we're redeemed when he takes you out of this earth into glory. But everything that we go through in this life, he's redeeming us out of it. He's bringing us out of it, delivering us out of it. He's plenteous in redemption. So by Christ's presence and power, he's going to protect us. He's going to provide for us beginning to end through this wilderness. And at last, he's going to carry us across the Jordan, and he's going to give us an abundant entrance into his everlasting kingdom. You believe that? I believe that. I do believe that. Despite me and all my failures, I believe that. I believe God's going to do it. Believe in him and believe on him. Believe in him and believe on him. Rely entirely upon the Lord. I was just talking with somebody today, and I said, I wish I could remember these things and they'd just be at the forefront of my heart and my mind all the time throughout my day. Because when it is, when you see him and you know him and his presence is with you, temptation's easy. It's easy to turn from it or not even be tempted by it when you're looking to him, trusting him. But when you don't feel his presence, that's when something can cross you. That's when out of the blue something will surprise you just like that. And you'll find out the thoughts you have, and you'll find out that you're a sinner. But trust him and rely entirely upon him. Try to keep your heart and mind on him all the time. We can't do that too much. And obey him. Just obey him. Whatever he says, do it. Everything in this world's good. Everything in this world's for our good. Just obey him. Obey him. He's going to make his children obey him. And when he chastens us, and he's going to do that too, because we don't always obey him. That's what chastening's about. And he's going to chasten you because he's going to keep you partaking of his holiness. Thank him for that. Praise him for that. That's love. That's love. That's your God keeping you. And he's going to keep you protected. And he's going to provide for you. Just keep looking to him. He will. All right.